But I'm going to look more carefully at it tonight, more carefully than I ever have before, and answer the question. I hope I can answer it. I hope when you leave here you have the answer to the question. Just what is a new creature? It says here in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What is a new creature? If you'll turn to Galatians chapter 6, Galatians 6, verse 15, here we run into this again. Paul says in Galatians 6, 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. It doesn't matter whether a fellow is a Jew according to tradition and form and ceremony and heritage, or not a Jew. Neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. What is a new creature? Could you answer that? Well, I hope we can before we leave, but before I try to describe for you what I believe to be a new creature and define this new creature, there's some things I must deal with. I must show you the importance of being a new creature. Unless a person is a new creature, he says if a man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Unless a man is a new creature, he has no hope of eternal life or salvation. Turn to John chapter 3. When Nicodemus came to Christ, look again and listen to what Christ said to him. Now Nicodemus evidently was not a new creature. He was a religious man. He was a moral man. He was a ruler of the Jews. He's an important man. But he was not a new creature. Because Christ said to him in John 3, verse 3, listen, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, except a man be a new creature, a new creation, born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In verse 5, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless a man is a new creature, he cannot see the kingdom of God nor enter the kingdom of God. So you see the importance of being a new creature. And another thing that I must point out is not only the importance of being a new creature, but the fact that this new creation is the work of God. It's not something you do or something I do for you, but it's something only God can do because it's a creation. A new creature is a new creation. And only God can create. And that which is created comes out of nothing. There's nothing there to begin with. God creates it. Now, let me just quote some scripture. No use turning there. You remember in John 1, it says, as many as received him, to them gave he the privilege or right to become sons of God, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but born of God. And here we read a while ago, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. David prayed, Lord, create in me a clean heart. You create it within me. Now, I do want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 8, Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. This new creature is the work of God. This new creation is by the power of God, and this new creation is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Now watch verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Not because of good works, but unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, do you understand that? What is a new creature? Well, the importance of it is this, that unless a person is a new creature, he has no hope of salvation or eternal life. Christ said you must become a new creature, must be born again. Secondly, this new creation or new creature is the work of God. It's not the work of man. It's the work of God. It's by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Now then, what a new creature is not. Now this is necessary because I don't want to weary you, but in order to clearly define what I believe to be a new creature, I've got to take away some of the false notions that prevail today. Now there are five things. If you're taking notes, take these down. This is what a new creature is not. Is not. First of all, a new creature is not a person who's got religion. That's not a new creature. I hear people say, well, he's such a godly man, he's such a praying man, he's such a religious man, he's such a devout man. But talking religion and going to church and even demonstrating some gifts to preach and pray and write and talk piously is not a new creature. Judas had all of that. He was numbered with the disciples. He lived with the disciples. He walked with the disciples. He was a companion of the disciples. He was one of the officers in the early church. But he was not a new creature. So you can get religion and you can talk religion and you can associate with religious people and things and not be a new creature. Secondly, it is not a new creature, is not just restraining the old man. A person may leave his former ways of evil. He may quit drinking, he may quit gambling, he may quit running around, he may quit stealing, he may quit lying, he may quit the grosser sins and still not be a new creature. The Pharisee in the temple is a perfect example of that. He said, Lord, I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not an extortioner. I give alms to the poor. I fast twice a week. I do this. I tithe. I do all these things. But he was not a new creature, nor did he become a new creature. All right, thirdly, a new creature is not necessarily a person who has a good nature. You've heard the term, he's such a good-natured person. And that's good. That's commendable. A person is sweet and courteous and kind and humble and generous, and people say he has such a good nature. Well, a person may have all these things and not be a new creature. What we're talking about here, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. But he can have a good, commendable nature and not be a new creature. Cornelius had these things. If you read about Cornelius, you'll find that he was a devout man, full of good works and all these things, but he was not a new creature until he met Christ. And then fourthly, a new creature is not one who outwardly keeps the law of God and tries to conform to the law of God, because Saul of Tarsus said this, concerning the law, I was blameless. He faced the holy law of God and he said, I'm blameless. The rich young ruler came to the master and he said, I've kept all these from my youth up. But he was not a new creature. And then this new creation, this new creature is not brought about by trial and tragedy. This is something all of us have a little bit of this in us. We think a person comes under great trial and some great tragedy and something happens, you know, and they get religion and turn over a new leaf. There's so many examples in the Scripture of people who've come through great trial and tragedy, but never came out new creatures. Cain, who killed his brother, when God visited him in judgment, pronounced upon him that awful sentence, he said, "That's my punishment's greater than I can bear." He was so repentant, you know, so repentant, like Esau, who sought repentance with tears. And Judas came back and threw the money on the floor and said, "I betrayed innocent blood," and went out and hanged himself. Simon Magus is another who said, "Pray God that these things won't come upon me." So a man may have religion, he may restrain the flesh, he may have a commendable nature, he may conform to an outward law, he may go through trial and tragedy, but he's not a new creature. What is a new creature? Well, our text says this: if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Watch this now. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Here's a clue. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Well, you can name some things that become new when a man becomes a new creature. He has new life, a life of God, divine life. He has a new attitude. He has a new family. He has new ways. He has a new direction. He has new companions. He has a lot of things new. But basically, in the new creature, there are two new things. Basically, in this new creation, there are two things which affect everything else. Now, this is so important. There are two things. What is a new creature? A new creature is a man or woman in whom God, by His mighty power, has changed two things. Two things. Number one, he has a new mind. And secondly, he has a new will. I promise you, when I get through, you're going to see how that everything else is affected by those two things. A new mind and a new will. Now, first of all, the new mind. What was the first thing in the old creation? Turn to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. What was the first thing in the old creation? Light. L-I-G-H-T, light. That was the first thing. It says here in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 4, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus." That's the first thing in the new creation. Light. Spiritual light. Understanding. Knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. That's right. You listen to this verse. Don't turn to it. I can get it quickly. "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, that we're in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ, and this is the true God." This is eternal life. Understanding. Knowledge. So this new creature, the first thing, he has a new man, and with that new man comes understanding. Understanding of what? Well, I'll give you three basic things. Turn to Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. The Apostle Paul starts the book of Romans off this way. This is the book of justification by faith, Romans. This is the gospel, the book of Romans. Can you define the first five verses of Romans 1? Do you understand what it's talking about? If you do, you're a new creature. You have understanding. Romans 1, listen, Paul, a bond slave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. This gospel of God which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. I see Christ in the Holy Scriptures, in the Old Testament, the promise of the gospel. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom, through whom, because of whom, we have received this grace and this apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Do you understand that passage of Scripture? Who Christ is? Well, that's what I'm talking about. God, in this new creation, has given you a light of understanding that you might see the gospel, the glory of God in the face of his Son. Let me show you another Scripture, Romans 3. Just stay in the book of Romans, go to chapter 3. Do you understand what he's saying here in Romans 3, verse, beginning with verse 20? Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law, this holiness of God, this righteousness of God without the law is manifested. It's revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. It's even the righteousness of God, which is by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. There's no difference. Can you enter into that? The righteousness of God. Christ is our righteousness. All right, turn one other Scripture, Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Listen to this. Hebrews 10, beginning with verse 9. Then said he, Christ is speaking, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And he taketh away the first Adam, the first covenant, the first tabernacle, the first priesthood, the first law, the first covenant, the first nature, the first heaven, the first earth. He taketh away all these things, having fulfilled them, and establishes a second, which is his atoning sacrifice, his blood. And he did that according to the will of God, verse 10, by the which will was sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest back there in the Old Testament stood daily ministering, often offering oft times the same sacrifice which can never take away sin. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Can you enter into that? Know what that's talking about? Well, that's the new creature. The man who's been given a mind, the understanding who Christ is, what Christ did, where Christ is, how he enabled God to be just and justifier, how he provided for us a perfect righteousness, a perfect sin offering. He is our mediator and intercessor. Understanding, God had shined, like when he said, let there be light, God had shined in our hearts to give us the knowledge of his glory in the face of Christ Jesus. New mind. You didn't used to understand that. The natural man doesn't understand that. If they had known who he was, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. That's what it's saying. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man the things God's prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed him unto us by his Spirit. That's the new nature and new creature. All right, another thing about this new man. It has understanding. Secondly, it has discernment. This new man not only believes the gospel, but this new man has an understanding of the necessity of the gospel. Not only the fact of the gospel. A lot of people know Jesus died on the cross, but why? Turn to Romans again. Romans chapter 3. A lot of people believe Christ died on the cross, but why? You know the fact of the gospel. Do you know the necessity of the gospel? The new man does. He has an understanding of that gospel and an understanding of the necessity of that gospel. In Romans chapter 3, verse 25, listen. Talking about Christ, whom God has set forth publicly. God has set him forth openly. God has ordained him. God has anointed him. God has in a public manner made clear who he is. He set him forth to be a propitiation, a mercy seat, a sin offering, a covering through faith in his blood. Why? To declare God's righteousness. To declare God's holiness. Even for the remission of sins that have passed, sins of Old Testament people. Sins that were covered by the blood through the forbearance of God. Watch it now. To declare. Again, that word declare is used twice. God set him forth to declare his holiness, his righteousness. Watch it. Again, he said, verse 26, and to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that God may be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. You understand that? God's law has to be honored. God's justice must be satisfied. The Son of Man must be lifted up. Man's not a new creature because he can say hallelujah. A man's not a new creature because he's more moral than people around him. A man's not a new creature because he's in the form of religion. A man is a new creature if God has given him a new mind. New thoughts, new understanding. And that new mind, that new understanding knows the gospel concerning Christ and the necessity of that gospel. That's right. All right, that's not all, though. This new mind has new values. Turn to Philippians 3. This new mind, in this new man, knows the gospel. I know people say, well, doctrine's not important, just preach Jesus. Well, the new man has discernment. Our Lord said something about, or Paul wrote something about not discerning the Lord's body. It's dangerous, he said. You examine yourself when you come to eat the Lord's table because many are weak and sickly among you because they ate unworthily, not discerning the Lord's body, not understanding it. And then this new man has new values. Look at Philippians 3. Paul talked about what he was. And then he said in verse 7, but what things were gained to me? Those I counted lost for Christ. He has a new set of values. Now you think what all these religious, political, and social achievements meant to Saul of Tarsus. He'd given his life for these things. He talked about in preceding verses how he was born of the tribe of Benjamin. That meant something to him. He was born of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. That meant something to him. He counted in his ancestry Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David. That you talk about a family tree. I see these people always trying to get their family trees together, you know. I had an uncle that got in our family all the way back to the Revolutionary War, the family tree. I tell you, Paul had a family tree. And he was proud of it, I'm sure. And not only that, but he was a man of influence. He counted the chief priest as his personal friend. He was a member of the highest Jewish court, the Sanhedrin. He was a man, I'm sure, not only of influence and education and family riches, but great honor. But when he became a new creature, his values changed. He said, I take all of these things, these riches and influence and power and honors and ancestry, and I count it but loss. That I may win Christ and be found in him. That's a new set of values. We come to regard our righteousness as filthy rags. We come to regard the honors of this world as meaningless. They really are. They're meaningless. Moses. We studied that this morning. Turn to Hebrews 11. Let's look at that again. Moses. Hebrews 11:24. You realize how mighty and powerful this man Moses was in Egypt? Son of Pharaoh's daughter, 40 years old, educated in the best schools, wealthy, rich. But verse 24 said, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Now that's a man's values have changed. Totally changed. His values. That's a new creature. New creature. And trials take on a different light. Disappointments become his appointments. And then we find out really, honestly, what our Lord said. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And the friendships of this world come to mean nothing. They're worthless. And our fellowship and our friendship and our joy is with the people of God. The values change. And then fourthly, that's in the mind. That's this new creature. Two things that have changed. The mind first. And there's knowledge of the gospel and an understanding of the necessity of the gospel. And a man's values change. And that's where the values are determined in the mind, are they not? What something's worth to me is determined in how I think of it. And then fourthly, the mind, that new mind, has new delights. Turn to Psalm 1. Real and truly, new delights. This, you see, this faith is not something he puts on. This relationship with God is not something that he just claims. This religion is not something that is a show. But he genuinely, sincerely delights. Look at Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, his happiness, his joy is in the law of the Lord, and in that law, in that word, doth he meditate day and night. Like David said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Glad. Glad. It's not duty. It's not responsibility. It's a delight. Paul said, oh, I know what I would do, I do not. What I would not do, I do. There's a conflict between my flesh and my spirit. But God knows after the inward man, I delight in the law of God. Delight in it. Really, what makes you happy? What makes you happy? Wherein do you really find your delight? Your true happiness? Well, that new mind finds its happiness and delight in the things of God, sincerely and truly. That's where he's most happy. In the presence of the Lord. That's what John writes about over here in 1 John. Turn over there a moment to 1 John chapter 1. Listen. 1 John chapter 1 verse 3. Listen to John. That which we've heard, declare we unto you. 1 John 1 3. That you also may have fellowship with us and truly, sincerely, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may really be full. All right, that's the first thing in the new creature. What is a new creature? It's a man who has a new mind. A new mind. he really understands the gospel. Oh, not all of it, of course not. But he understands the gospel, and he understands the necessity of it. And that new mind has a new values, and it has a new delight in the things of God. Or secondly, a new will. The new creation demands a new will. You see, there can be no new man without a new will. Now listen carefully to me. A new will. This, you see, the will is the principal part of a man. The will is what plunged us into darkness. The will is the ruling factor. The will commands the whole man. Will you do this? That's right. Will you? I won't. I will not. I will. I will not. The will controls the man. It's the ruling factor. Such, one writer said, such is the will, such is the man. Well, that's us. Christ described us. He said, you will not come to me that you might have life. That's our chief problem. I will not. How often would I have gathered you as a hen doth gather her brood, but you will not. We said we will not have this man reign over us. Now, in regeneration, the new creature, God makes his people willing. He not only gives them a new mind, so they understand the gospel and the necessity of it, and they have new values and a new delight, but it's totally, completely willing. It's totally, completely willing. In regeneration, God makes his people willing. They have a new will. Now, contrary to what people think, I hear people say, well, you believe in election, predestination, that if God, like Charlie said a while ago, if we're favored of God, we've always been favored of God. Well, that's true. No use denying it. So God doesn't change. But that effectual grace recognizes the will. The old will is in bondage. And so God gives a new will, a brand new will, the will to come to Christ. And God's people come to Christ, and they come willingly and lovingly and continually as if it were their own doing. I'm telling you the truth, they do. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life. That's what it said. If you will confess with your mouth Jesus to be Lord and believe in your heart God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's right. No. God doesn't appeal to a fallen will because it will not. He gives a new will. There's a new creature. There's a new creation. And there's a will that pants after God. David said he panted after God like the hart panteth for the water brooks. There's a new will that desires the righteousness of Christ and counts its own righteousness as nothing but dung. I choose Christ. I choose Christ. Just like Moses. We studied this one. Here's Moses. He's in Egypt, powerful, rich, honorable, influential, just name it, wealthy. And there's the people of God, the Israelites, in bondage, in slavery. They're his people. And the scripture says he refused the treasures of Egypt. He chose the afflictions of God's people. He left and forsook Egypt, and he went with the people of God. He did it willingly. He said, how in the world does a man do a thing like that? That's a new creation. He did it because he wanted to. He did it because he wanted to. God didn't make him. God didn't threaten him. God didn't coerce him. He made his heart pant after God and want God and want to do the will. That's right. I choose to serve Christ. I choose to hear the gospel. I choose to preach the gospel of grace. I do it deliberately, willingly, because I want to. I'm not made to. I want to. That's right. I choose to feed at his table. I choose to be here. That's right. You see, that's that new will. It's, you know, to a lot of people, religion is distasteful, and I guess the kind they got is kind of sour. You know, I understand that. But this new creature, it's not something you put on Sunday. It's not something, a face that you put on for the world. It's this new creature, this new creation is of God, and it's genuine, and it's real, and it's a new mind and a new will. And there are a whole lot of conflicts, but still it's a new mind and a new will, and it'll never change. It can be no backsliding. There's no such thing taught in the New Testament. Not of the new creatures. There's no turning back. It's just that I'm here because I want to be. Brother Barnard told me a story. Some of you may have heard it about when he preached in Texas, a little town called Borger, Texas. He's the only preacher there. In Borger, Texas, a town of 50,000 people, a boom town, all boom town. And he said there were 19 saloons. Behind every saloon was a gambling hall, and behind every gambling hall was a brothel. And men were there from everywhere, men and women from everywhere, drilling for oil. Borger, Texas is still there. He got in on the ground floor. Borger, he's the only preacher. Said he averaged a funeral every day for 3 years. Only preacher in town. One day he had 7 funerals. And so he was, wherever he built a church there, he went around to all the saloons, took up money to build a church. That's right, he visited all 19 saloons. They gave him a lot of money. He had his pockets just full of money. Walking down the street, met one of his church members, and he said, Pastor, said, what in the world are you doing? He said, I'm raising money to build a church. He said, in the saloons? He said, yeah, I'm getting it wherever I can get it. And he said, well, Pastor, you can't build a large church with the devil's money. And Ralph said, I didn't know the devil had any money. I thought God said the gold and silver was his. But he said, I promise you, if I find any with the devil's name on it, he said, I'll give it back to him. But all I've found so far says, in God we trust. So there was, down at one of the biggest gambling halls, there was one of the girls, an entertainer named Dixie. And somebody came in one night. She was dancing with a fella, and somebody came in and tried to shoot the fella and missed him and hit her. And they took her back into the back room. They said, somebody send for the preacher, and they sent for Rob. And he said, I went down there, and I sat down beside Dixie. Said the doctor was there, and I sat down beside. She said, I want to talk to the preacher. So Ralph said he moved up closer to her, and she was dying. And she said, Preacher, am I going to die? He said, well, I don't know, Dixie. He said, the doctor says it's a possibility. She started crying. And she said, tell me about Jesus. And so Ralph started talking to her about the gospel. And he said that she gripped his hand so tightly as he talked to her about the Lord and about the gospel and about salvation. And said, when he finally quit, he said, well, what about it, Dixie? And he said she turned her face to the wall. And in a moment she turned back and looked at him, glaring. She said, Preacher, no use me trying to fool you or anybody else. If I get well, I'll go on living just like I've always lived. I might as well be honest. And he said she died. Well, you see, that's the honesty of a will in bondage. And I'm talking about the honesty of a will set free by the grace of God. We're not here because we have to be. We're here because this is where we want to be. We don't preach this word because we don't have anything else to do. We preach it because with all our hearts we believe it. We proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ not to get some more members of this church. We preach the gospel of Jesus Christ believing it, but seeing the necessity of it, wanting others to believe the same gospel. But if you believe it, God will have to reveal it to you. I can't. He'll have to give you that new mind and that new will. And when that's renewed, that new mind and new will, everything else falls in line. That's right. That's a new creature. Does that help you? Well, it helped me. I hope it helped you. That's a new creature. That gives me a good hope. You know, I have people say to me after I get through preaching on a subject like this, I don't demand a lot of things that you can't produce. God only demands what Christ can produce. I simply tell you the truth. That is a new creature. A new creature, not a man that fasts twice a week and prays three times a week, et cetera. A new creature is a man that knows Christ, loves Christ, believes Christ, and whose feet have been put in a new direction because that's where he wants to go, willingly, lovingly, deliberately. That's where he wants to go. It's not where he has to go to earn a reward. It's where he wants to go. He gives what he wants to give. He does what he wants to do. But God changes want to. I have people say, well, if I believe what you believe, I'd live like I want to. I do, don't you? That's the stupidest thing I've heard anybody say. I'd live like I want to. You better start living like you want to. If you're not living like you want to, you're a hypocrite. Isn't that correct? If you're not living like you want to, you're a hypocrite. The people of God living just like they will to live. They will to live. Their will has been renewed. All right, Mike, come lead us in a closing hymn.